Now the epistle for the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers, but before all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one toward another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. The sacred from the Gospel of St. John, the 15th chapter. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me, and you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Charity covereth a multitude of sins. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. From the day our Lord founded his church, he knew that she would not go on without difficulty and persecution. If the world has hated our Lord, we should not expect for the world to be loving toward his church. Holy Mother, the church has suffered from persecutions, schisms, and heresies. We can be sure that she will be attacked until the end of time. One of the most common attacks or calumnies against the Catholic Church, which you might hear today, is in regard to indulgences. Martin Luther was probably the originator of this attack, another one of his many attacks against the Catholic Church. But sadly, this calumny is continuing even today. In fact, my sister ran into this just recently. She studies architecture at the New York Institute of Technology. And one of her professors, the history professor, brought up this attack more than once during class. The professor proclaimed that the church started selling indulgences during the 1500s, and Martin Luther disagreed with making people pay for indulgences and thought it was a scam for the church to make money. In another class, the professor stated, "It was like they were saying you had to pay the church to go to heaven." Now, my sister's professor is not an isolated case. I wouldn't be surprised if this calumny was even in many of our history books. And so, to understand indulgences, to know the truth, and to get the most benefit from them, I think it would be useful to treat these three most common assaults against the Church's doctrine on indulgences. First, some believe that an indulgence is a permission to sin, that 100 days indulgence is permission to sin for the duration of 100 days. That is what is taught about the Catholic Church. Second, others think that indulgences, the indulgence of 100 days, directly equals 100 days, 100 24-hour periods off of purgatory time. And third, Martin Luther said that the church sells indulgences. That you pay money, you give your $20, and you receive an indulgence. A forgiveness of sin for a certain amount of dollars. As Catholics, my dear faithful, we can become accustomed to the church's doctrines and fail to realize that most of those outside the church have no idea about them, or that others purposely twist the truth to attack Holy Mother the Church. Thus, it is important to be sure we know the truth. The Baltimore Catechism tells us an indulgence is the remission of the temporal punishment due to sin. In other words, it is the taking away of the temporal punishment or debt that remains after confession. Say a person has committed a sin. Sin can merit both eternal and temporal punishment. And perhaps some of the, and also some of the temporal punishment is remitted in confession. But that temporal punishment which remains must be removed before entering heaven. And this is done by the purifying flames of purgatory, or while someone is alive, by prayers, by more penance, or by indulgences. An indulgence is given by the church by applying the infinite merits of Jesus Christ and the satisfaction made by Our Lady and all the saints. An indulgence may be gained by a baptized Catholic, but only if he is in the state of grace and performs the requisite works. And all this is defined by the Council of Trent. And now that we see the Church's true doctrine, let us compare it with the attacks leveled against her. First, an indulgence is not a permission to sin. The word indulgence, especially after the 1600s, came to mean to give in to some satisfaction, some indulgence. But its real meaning, from its Latin root, is to be lenient, to forgive or to grant pardon. The real meaning can be seen in your missal, in the second prayer after the Confiteor, or I confess to Almighty God. You can look at your missal after the sermon. When the Father makes the sign of the cross and he says the prayer that starts with Indulgentiam, meaning, may Almighty God grant you pardon. And so the indulgence is not a license to sin, but is the remission of a debt for past forgiven sins. Remember, one cannot even gain an indulgence unless he is in the state of grace. If he has mortal sin on his soul, he must first go to confession. And if one is planning to sin in the future and has consented to that, it is not possible for him to receive an indulgence. So, an indulgence is certainly not a permission to sin. Rather, it is an enticement to avoid it. The second error is that an indulgence is a direct subtraction of days from one's purgatory time. Now, this is not perfectly correct. Let me first explain that as reparation and a deterrent of sins, the early Christians were given more rigorous penances that were public. This was especially done in time of persecution, when the faithful were bribed and threatened to renounce their faith, to blaspheme, and to adore idols. Sadly, some of those Christians fell. And once repentant, their public penance would sometimes last 40 days, 3 months, or a longer period. Because such a serious sin, scandalizing others, would demand a public and a more rigorous penance. And this understanding is important in order to grasp the meaning of 1 year indulgence or 40 days indulgence or whatever the length of time might be, as you may see in your missal also or in some prayer books. You will see published in parentheses, perhaps, underneath a prayer, how much of an indulgence it is. If one performs all the requisites necessary, the prayers or the works, or the stations of the cross, or visiting different chapels, saying the rosary before the Blessed Sacrament, all those requisites to gain an indulgence of 40 days, perhaps, he remits as much temporal punishment as 40 days of penance, public penance, would have remitted in the ancient church. It does not mean 40 days less time in purgatory, because it is impossible to assign to purgatory the same duration and length of days as we have on earth under the sun. The third attack against the church is that the church sold indulgences, that her clergy, the priests, were making money by selling these indulgences and filling their pockets. But if anyone ever did in fact sell indulgences, without going into the lies or made-up stories, if anyone did or changed or exaggerated the church's teaching on indulgences, the Catholic Church never sanctioned it, and it was an abuse. If it did happen, the church herself was not responsible, as the church is all holy. It is not responsible for the sins of its members. Just as those working in civil charitable organizations who embezzle, steal, or do wrong do not reflect the work of the organization itself, or the crimes or shootings, perhaps, that go on in America do not reflect the consent and encouragement of the American people as a whole. In the same way, if anyone, past, present, or future, has gone against the teaching of the church on indulgences and has, in fact, sold them, it cannot be used as an attack against the church herself. If you take a step back, my dear faithful, nothing but false claims can be used against the Church of Christ. For the Catholic Church is the one true Church of God. She is all holy as her founder is all holy. Thus, nothing can be used validly to attack it. If there is any fault to be found, it is in the weakness or imperfection of men. But even if you don't come across this attack or that, or you are not bombarded with the same lies as was my sister in college about indulgences, you ought to know the truth and to be ready to defend the Church of our Lord. The Church does have the power to grant indulgences, which are remission of the punishment of sins that were already forgiven. Just as a warden at a jail, perhaps, has the right to be lenient to a prisoner who, for good behavior, has some of his sentence remitted. God gave this power to his church when our Lord said to the apostles, "Whatsoever you shall bind upon earth shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose upon the earth shall be loosed also in heaven." Notice that our Lord didn't just say, "What sin you loose," but he said, "Whatsoever you loose will be loosed in heaven." It is not just sin, but it is the debt and punishment as well that the church has the power to remit. And in the epistle of today's Mass, St. Peter, the prince of the apostles, who heard those words from our Lord himself, St. Peter explains that charity covereth a multitude of sin. That is, charitable works can cover, can take care of, or remove the punishment due to our sins. In other words, by prayer or performing works of charity, we can lessen the temporal punishment due to sin. As a note, besides indulgences, It is interesting to note that this scriptural doctrine of the Prince of the Apostles is contrary to what Luther would go on to teach. Even though he was attacking the Catholic Church and saying that, look at what the Bible says, he's not following the Bible with this very scripture text. Whereas St. Peter says, charity towards God and neighbor, works can remove sin. Luther said that faith alone saves. You don't even need an indulgence to be forgiven. That one doesn't even need to perform works of charity or any remission or indulgence whatsoever. He went so far as to say, sin boldly. As long as you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be okay. Naturally, one can see a problem. One can see the contradiction with the Bible. It is the mercy of the Sacred Heart and His Church which has bestowed such a loving and compassionate gift upon weak men to help them save their souls. But in order to do that, to gain these indulgences, we must say those prayers with the proper dispositions. Those dispositions which will help us to be worthy of the mercy of God. Let us not pray hurriedly or out of routine, but with attention, love, and devotion, so that we gain as many indulgences as we can and the greatest remission of the debt possible. The Sacred Heart thought it was not enough that he poured out every last drop of his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. It wasn't enough to him that he instituted the sacraments, especially baptism and confession, to forgive our sins. But he gave the power to his church to grant the remission of the debt we might still owe, all to make sure that we have every opportunity to unite ourselves with him in heaven as soon as possible. That is his love for us, and that is his true indulgence towards us. Thank God for indulgences. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.